The Fantasy Edge with Jonathan Chan, Kevin Kuo, Richard Seville.
Yes, it is the Fantasy Edge, week 16, the last Fantasy Edge podcast for the year. Well, we might have another one of a postseason, maybe talk about the playoffs or something, but no plans for any more fantasy of fantasy importance, unless you're playing one of those postseason fantasy games. I'm sure there's lots of them. NFL.com does a lot of those. But today we're going to be talking about a little bit of a recap of the season and a little bit of a fantasy playoff talk. But Alex will have his starts and sits. So I'm Richard Seville, and joining me is league finalist Kevin Kuo in our Fantasy Six-Pack League final.
Three times in a row.
Three times in a row, just like I was last year. Well, good luck to you, though, Kev. And Jono, I'm sure you're in a final, aren't you, Jono?
Yeah, I'm in one final. Unfortunately, just the one.
Yeah, I'm in only one final, too. Got a good chance in it. Although, it's weird. Actually, I'm in two finals, really. There's our F6P final for the consolation. It's to decide who gets number one and number two choice pick. We got a weird way of doing it. Is if you play in the consolation bracket and you win it, you get first choice of draft position the following season, and our final is to determine who's the winner and who's the runner-up. And I'm between, believe it or not, I'm against Alex Hamrick, who will have his starts and sits. First of all, Kev, let's talk about your final. I have to say, week 15 was pretty brutal, wasn't it?
That was disgusting.
I mean,
the scores all around the league, I think, were just patently awful. I saw people making it into their finals with like final scores of like 60 to 50, stuff like that. It was bad.
Yeah, and Jono, did you have a low score that got you through? Or
yeah, both my leagues, the one I won and lost, they were relatively low scores on both ends. It's just, you know, if you didn't have Mike Williams on your team or Derrick Henry, it seemed like your score was way below your projection and what you normally do.
Yeah, I totally wasn't expecting a chasing this point scenario with Derrick Henry, and I remember you saying, John, next season, because of this, what Derrick Henry has done near the end, automatically inflates his ADP for next year. I don't know about that, but I don't know how many people fall for that. I know I certainly won't.
I think I said it last week. It's definitely going to inflate it a lot over what it would have been, just because now people are going to be like, oh, yes, he's the number one. No more Deion Lewis. Derrick Henry, 20 carries a game, and he'll do that at 3 yards a carry. So. And then he'll bust out for 300 yards in one game, and everybody will go through the same thing.
Well, the thing is that he looks good when he's playing well, and I sure don't get it because Deion Lewis has totally turned invisible. Guy who was, you know, hot through. This has just been a weird season. I mean, Deion Lewis was the guy at the beginning, and now he's not. I don't know, Kev. What do you make of this season generally overall? I mean, as far as this,
for Derek, it's just weird. I mean, every time he has one of those games, it just seems like he should be doing it every single game. He's so much physically just overwhelming, that it's always a shock when he's just kind of hitting the middle of the line for 2 yards. But, like you said, I think it's going to inflate his value for the next week. I think I saw a graphic that this was something like the 14th most fantasy points scored over a two week period of all time. I don't know. He's always been talented. There's never really been a question about that. Maybe he's actually put it together, or maybe it's like a two-game fluke. Mm. That's going to be one of the, you know, make or break things that decides people's drafts next year, because there's going to be people who saw this and are going to take him in a second round or something like that, and he's going to go back to what he was.
Okay, we're going to get into a little bit of the news, and then we'll talk a little bit more about the season and the rookies and guys who let us down, guys who surprised us. Guys we lost to injuries who are important, what's going to happen with him next season, and so on. And our fantasy all-star teams. We'll quickly run through that. Cam Newton, out for the season now, so you won't have him for your fantasy playoffs. Not that that was anything good to have him anyway, because that shoulder injury was gradually taking him down from late November and through December. You could definitely see there was something wrong with Cam. So Superman, I think it's good that he's being taken out. It actually, if you own Cam Newton, you're better off without him anyway, because you could lose fantasy points by trying to trust him. So Yeah, a bit of bad news there. Don't pick up his backup. I don't think he's worth it. However, I would say that perhaps Christian McCaffrey might be the guy to own. If you own Christian McCaffrey, you're probably going to be okay. Any thoughts on Cam Newton this year, Jono?
No, just finally, I'm glad the Panthers are shutting him down. It you know, the season's lost at this point. He was clearly playing in a lot of pain. And it's just finally they're taking his health into account as opposed to just letting him go out there. It sucks that a lot of players are losing one of the better fantasy quarterbacks, but hopefully he's healthy for going into next year and the Panthers office can kind of regroup and reload. They do have a lot of weapons on the team and hopefully they can kind of put it all together.
Yeah, but Cam Newton, he has been not himself. I could even see it. Everyone could see it. We saw him more interceptions. Wasn't really running as well either. But I think even there was a late play for a deep shot. They put in another guy because Cam's shoulder just wasn't up to it. A similar thing we saw, too, with Andrew Luck earlier for a Hail Mary when Andrew Luck wasn't quite there with his shoulder. Shoulders are so important with quarterbacks, aren't they? So I just hope Cam Newton's okay for next year. Kev, Leonard Fournette. Well, hardly touched. I don't think he had a touch in the third quarter. Can you talk about this bust a little bit? What's going on with Leonard Fournette? What are we doing with this guy next season?
I think we're gambling. You know, and it's kind of up to you whether or not you want to take that gamble because he's fantastic when he's playing. He's going to have 20 plus carries, huge touchdown potential. And that's when he's playing. I mean, people like to make the argument, okay, but you want to deal with like Bortles, but we've seen quarterback or running back succeed with bad quarterbacks. David Johnson can do it. Fournette had three games over 20 plus points this season, so he can clearly do it. Just the question is, do you trust him to stay on the field? I don't know. It's up to you. I mean, if you hit on him in the second round pick and he's kind of more like he was his rookie year, then he's an amazing draft pick. And if he busts again, then you're out of luck.
I don't think I want to start him for a fantasy final. I mean, not that if you had.
Yeah, I think if you have better options, you go with them. But if you're playing for upside, Fournette's upside is pretty, pretty high. Yeah, I mean, I probably have him, I think in my rankings, I think he's around RB20 for me, which is, you know, there's options ahead of him, but there's his upside is just hard to ignore, but his downside is pretty, really bad too.
What's your thoughts on Fournette? Do you own him anywhere, Jono?
No, don't own him anywhere. I'm not too broken up about it, but like Kevin said, if you have him, and unless you have somebody that's like a surefire bet to outproduce him, I think you have to, even, you know, with quarterback issues and, you know, just the team falling apart. Miami's run defense isn't great. They've given up the sixth most fantasy points to running backs this year. Dalvin Cook just destroyed them for 136 yards and two touchdowns. And Latavius Murray did 68 yards and a touchdown. So I think as long as he's getting carries and he's healthy, then you have to play him. He's probably going to score a touchdown or two this game.
Yeah.
Provided that Jacksonville can get past the 50. But if I have him, I'm probably going to play him.
Right. And, of course, on Miami's side of the ball, everybody was talking about, I was listening to a few podcasts. Well, one in particular, the Fantasy Pros podcast with Mike and Bobby. They were, Kenyon Drake. They're pretty upset about it. They cannot figure out why Kenyon Drake, is falling out of favor with Adam Gase or because they didn't think his shoulder was any real problem. But Kalen Ballage came in, looked really good. He stepped in for Gore, but they didn't even give Drake. I mean, I think Drake had four carries or something like that. So what's going on with Kenyon Drake? I don't understand what the problem is here. Do you, John?
No, I really don't know. It's one of two things: either his shoulder injury is a lot worse than people are letting on, or Adam Gase really, really hates Drake and is going to make Ballage the new starter next year. Just the way Drake has been playing, you know, when given the ball, he's produced. I know he had that goal line fumble, you know, mid-season, didn't cost him the game, but it was a costly fumble. But otherwise, when given opportunities, he's generally produced better than Gore has, and he's actually a good receiver coming out of the backfield. So I'm not quite sure what the issue is. I'm hoping it's just the injury and that Drake can come back and, you know, prove that he deserves more than one carry, you know, in a blowout. But that also might have been it too. With the shoulder injury and them getting blown out 41-17, maybe Gase didn't see it necessary to give Drake any carries. Mm-hmm. But it's tough to say. I don't think you can really start either of them, even Ballage against the Jaguars. But we'll see what Gase decides to do this this week and in Week 17.
Yeah, Kev, don't you find a little surprising Drake? I mean, the hero of the miracle play against the Patriots suddenly goes invisible.
Yeah, it was a discussion in the offseason. It was kind of brought up by some beat writers that Gase really hated how Drake was always looking for the big play, which would make sense as to why they're not giving him a lot of carries. But the thing is, like, it's been proven that Drake does hit the big play. So
yeah,
that kind of logic. I mean, who am I to doubt the coach of a team that somehow is, I think they're 7-6 and in playoff contention. But yeah, it seems unreasonable. It seems if you've got a home run hitter, you should go out there and give them as many chances to hit home runs as possible. But if that's what it is, you know, that's how it's going to be. I guess Balazs is going to be playable. Quick plug, we're doing a kind of a WTF stats thing, and I was actually looking at Kenyon Drake, and one of the stats that I'll have up in that column article at the end of the year is Drake is currently on pace to be the RB 18 at the end of the season, and he's on pace for 180 touches. Over the last 10 years, the RB 20 has averaged 246 touches, so he's 60 touches less than the average RB 20. He's a home run hitter, but you can't start him any week because you have no idea what he's doing.
What do you mean RB 20? You mean like 20th on the RB list?
Yeah, is that finishing as the RB 20 on the season?
Right. Okay. I see. Right. Well, that's a pretty good. The line at RB 20 is pretty good, then, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's an RB2, but you would never consider Kenyon Drake an RB2. I think every person's rankings each week probably has him RB30, I would guess RB36, 35, something like that.
Yeah, that's but right.
At the end of the season, he's averaging out to be an RB2 because he keeps hitting these monster 50-yard touchdowns. He's essentially Ted Ginn, but in running back form.
Speaking of Ted Ginn, the Saints have designated Ginn to return. I don't know whether that means he'll be there for the playoffs. I suppose it means that. But, yeah, that just came up in the news about Ted Ginn, as mentioned. Other news, people don't have to worry about Todd Gurley. A lot of people are picking up John Kelly just in case, which is always a good thing. I think if you own Todd Gurley, you should pick up Kelly if he's available, just in case something happens on the on the game, at game time, because you never know. But the Rams really need him. I mean, they're still in contention for that top seed in the NFC. So I think that's one thing, too, that's causing a lot of bit of problems in our assessment of teams like the Jaguars and that. They just don't seem to have that that impetus to try and win. It's like this is the problem with the playoff. They should have a lottery or something so that, you know, that draft picks doesn't come into it, you know, like they do with the NBA. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but it does seem something's really kind of weird, like with, you know, Leonard Fournette, you know, getting a little bit of preservation. What do you think, John?
I mean, I think Jacksonville preserving Fournette is just to preserve Fournette. He's proven injury prone enough that I don't think Jacksonville needs any other reason to not play him, because he could tear something or strain something or just break something at any time, it seems like. And them not playing him when their record's, what, 3-10, 3-11, something like that, then I have no problem with them limiting his touches.
Any other news you guys want to chat about before we get into some other stuff? No?
Just simple injury stuff. Melvin Gordon looks like he's going to play. OBJ, still questionable. Is there anything else? I think that's it as far as big time injuries.
Yeah.
We talked about, do you guys know if Aaron Rodgers is playing? He is, right?
He keeps saying that he's going to play. Yeah. And Philbin said he wasn't going to bench him.
Yeah. I saw the Vegas line at one point was Jets favored by 2, which is disrespectful to say the least. So I imagine at some point they got the information that Rodgers was going to be out. Now, speaking of the Packers, of course, Jamal Williams taking over for Aaron Jones, who's hit an IR. Probably a risky start, but I think if Rodgers is playing, I think you probably just play him. Anyone else?
Looks like Connor is probably not going to play this week.
That's right. Yes.
That's big.
Yeah, that is big, because everyone was sort of expecting him to be back. He says himself that he's not ready. Usually players say the other ways. Usually a player says, "Oh, I want to get in there," and then they can't. But if they're already saying that they can't on their own, because usually players are more optimistic about their chances of playing. So when they're not optimistic, gives you pause for thought.
I've got another good point: is if Spencer Ware is playing, are you confident in him knowing that Damian Williams is pretty good too?
I think Damian Williams is the guy. I really do. I don't think Spencer Ware is the guy to own.
So if they're both healthy, you're playing Damian Williams over Spencer Ware?
Yeah, if you have to. If you've got another choice, if there's another option,
yeah,
I think I would prefer something else.
Like, let's just say you have one spot, it's Spencer Ware or Damian Williams.
I would take Damian Williams if I had to choose between the two, yeah.
Okay, that's amazing. I don't know. I don't know where to stand. I have him on my bench. I'm waiting for news if he gets healthy. I have no idea if I'm going to play him or not. It's probably going to wait. Probably going to come down to game time decision for me.
What about you, John? Any thoughts on that?
Nah, I don't know. I feel like even as, you know, the guy last week, Williams only had 16 touches. They've shown that they're willing to give Ware, you know, more like, I guess, number one bell cow touches on a regular basis. But in the couple games that they did play together, the Baltimore game at least, Williams is the one that got the goal line touchdown and the pass inside the five as well. So it's tough to say. I think if Ware plays and he's not limited, I don't think either of them are going to really have a great game. But if you had to play one of them, I'd probably PPR Williams standard Ware.
PPR Williams standard Ware, yeah, maybe.
Yeah. I like that. That's a good way of looking at it.
And I guess if it's half PPR, well, it's either way.
Yeah, about half PPR.
No.
Yeah.
Then
right, cause, I mean, that's what I'm facing right now in my league is I'm either going to have to play Ware, Lamar Miller, who's dealing with injury, Josh Adams, who is very mediocre, or Kenneth Dixon, who's also pretty mediocre. And I have no idea. I think I'm literally just going to roll a die.
Well, the thing is I just don't – the thing that bothers me about Kansas City for either is the fact that Seattle, in Seattle, 12th man, you know. Seattle's a very tough place to play in to begin with. I know the Chiefs are good and they've got the pedigree with Mahomes and all that, but it is Seattle and it's tough to play up there. So,
yeah, I mean, I don't think any of these guys will really have huge games. I'm almost looking for which guy's just going to give me 12 points, 10 points. You know, I'm not looking for the boom. So out of these guys, I think, I don't know, Lamar Miller kind of shaky with the ankle, but they're saying it's not serious. I'm leaning towards him. If it comes down to it, if Ware is healthy, I think I'll probably play him just because I think he'll get 8 to 12 points somehow.
Sounds good to me. Let's talk a little bit about, let's talk a little bit about some fantasy rookies that I put an exhaustive list. Well, I'm going to talk about the quarterbacks first over here. You know, my favorite rookie quarterback this year is, it has to be, I guess if I was to put him in order, I would put Lamar Jackson. I really like this guy. He does the Cam Newton thing. He uses his legs. It's a running game offense now. Of course, it's not very good for receivers because of Lamar Jackson. If you notice that ever since Flacco's been out of the game, what's happened to John Brown and Michael Crabtree? Their stock has just fallen. But I don't care. I like Lamar Jackson. I don't know how you feel about him. I think he's the best rookie of the bunch this year. Most exciting one. I don't know if you guys have an opinion on that, but John, any thoughts? Or Kev?
Yeah, resident Ravens fan. I'll jump in here. He's been exciting, obviously. It's nerve-wracking, though, to just see your quarterback go out there and constantly put him. I mean, he's not, like, reckless. Like, he doesn't just not slide. He doesn't take unnecessary big hits, which is good. But also, you know, anytime your quarterback's out there running literally 17 times a game, you get nervous. And every time he throws, I'm very nervous. So he is exciting in that sense. I'd trade him for Baker in a second, but he's pretty good, to be honest.
You'd trade him for Baker? You like Baker more?
Absolutely. Oh, dude, I trade Baker for 15 different quarterbacks in the league.
Baker's
incredible.
He's good, but he takes a lot of risks unnecessarily.
Yeah, hell yeah. Give me the risks.
You like the risks, do you?
Baker is my type of guy. Baker is, I mean, just the way he carries himself, the way everyone seems to kind of rally around him as a leader. He's my type of guy.
He's kind of got a bit of good. He's kind of got an attitude problem. I don't know. He's one of these attitude quarterbacks. He's got some sort of attitude going on there.
Oh, I mean, I think his attitude isn't so much as like, I don't know. I can't really think of someone with like a horrible attitude, but I think he's kind of got the Phillip Rivers thing going on where he's just talking a lot of shit, which is like, you know, what's wrong with that?
Nice. What about you, John? You got a favorite rookie quarterback?
Outside of Baker, it's got to be Josh Allen. Honestly, just the last 4 weeks, he's been so exciting, just doing it with his legs. The passing's coming along slowly, but I mean, he's helped Robert Foster, of all people, just go off in the last 4 weeks. He's got 100 yards or a touchdown in four of his last five games. He's getting more accurate, making better decisions, and he's somehow carrying that Bills offense to you know, a respectable level and, you know, a respectable record as well.
You're right. He's really done a great job with the Bills. Other rookies, though, I guess the best wide receiver rookie has to be DJ Moore. I don't know about the future for DJ Moore. I think I like the future of somebody like Christian Kirk or Cortland Sutton, even Dante Pettis, more than I do for DJ Moore. I just can't. I don't know about you guys, but John, I just cannot wrap my arms around and embrace Calvin Ridley and Anthony Miller. For some reason, those guys just don't Sky Zones don't interest me as much. I don't know why, but and that's the same. I guess you can almost say the same for Gallop as well. I'm not saying that just because Amari Cooper has come in there and started hogging all the targets, but it just seems to me like the guys that I'm looking at next year are the guys like Christian Kirk, Cortland Sutton, and Dante Pettis. Those are the guys that seem to get my interest a little bit more. I don't know how you feel. You got one of you guys can take on that, where your feelings are on the rookie wides.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like the guys that you're more interested in are like the prototypical boundary number one receivers, especially Cortland Sutton. Dante Pettis kind of fits that too. Whereas Ridley, Miller are more so not slot guys, but I wouldn't say they're your prototypical X receiver. So I mean, it makes sense. It's, you know, it's also hard to really judge it since Ridley is not a top option in his offense.
True.
Miller certainly isn't one in his, and like you said with Gallup, they've got Amari now. And DJ Moore is, yeah, I mean, the Cam spreads the ball so much and he wasn't healthy, and it's hard to really judge what DJ Moore is going to do. So, meanwhile, you know, Sutton, Kirk, Pettis are just getting consistent targets. So I think it has to do with it. To be honest, I don't really like any of these guys. Like,
I'm talking about the future though. I mean, for next season.
Yeah. In dynasty leagues, I think I would be trading the majority of these guys for future picks or like picks this year. If I had to pick a guy I was highest on, it honestly might be Anthony Miller. I think he's really talented. I'm just not sure if Trubisky is ever going to be consistent enough for Anthony Miller to be. You know what I mean? I mean, with like Allen Robinson, with Trey Burton, I don't think Trubisky is going to lock into Anthony Miller as like a go-to guy. But every time I watch him, I think I come away most impressed.
Mm. Who's your favorite, Jono, for the rookie wides?
I've watched DJ Moore the most, so I'd like to say him just because I've seen more of his games than anybody else on that list. Anyways. I like his ability after the catch. He can turn, you know, a 5 yard, crossing route into, you know, a 95 yard touchdown. He's fast. He's agile. He can turn something into nothing. Like, against the Browns a couple weeks ago, it was like a 9 yard pass. He broke the three of like four tackles and went for like 30 yards. It really kind of showed off his after catch abilities, and he's fun to watch.
Yeah. So, he is fun to watch, but for some reason I just can't get to, I can't embrace him as a guy that I really, really want. I guess the more you watch, like I tend to be more of an eye test guy than I am a stat guy. It's like when I saw, I could see Curtis Samuel beginning to emerge. I felt bad for dropping him because I picked him up a little bit too early before he was ripe. And now I see Curtis Samuel ripening. I think he'll get drafted pretty high, Curtis Samuel, by the way, next season. So, because it looks like he's coming into his own in that offense. It's looking good. The arrow is definitely up for him. Let's take a look at the running backs, and of course we all know about Saquon Barkley. Granted, you probably lost your fantasy semifinal last week with his worst output of the, I couldn't believe that. Well, I know it was a rainy day and it was awful and it was the Titans and it was a tight game with the downpour. Just the rain would not let up all game and didn't help anybody's fantasy points. But other than that, Saquon Barkley obviously was the great one this year. But, you know, there were some other names that really, all the running backs tended to do good until they got injured or whatnot, like Mikel and Kerryon Johnson. Sony Michel and Kerryon Johnson. But Kev, the rookie running backs, a pretty good group.
Yeah, really solid group this year. People always say, oh, the running back position is dying, but I think it's very talented. It's just you're finding talent. You don't have to take one of the first rounds, but I mean, the guys who were the one of my favorite guys, probably Chubb. I mean, outside of Saquon, because Saquon is literally, he might be the best running back I've ever. Like, he's incredible.
Yeah.
Nick Chubb is my another type of running back. I mean, the kind of running back who can do everything, who, you know, he can break long runs, he can get you power yards, he can catch the ball out of that backfield, he can line up wide to catch some balls. Nick Chubb is really, really talented, and I like him a lot, especially going forward in that offense that's next to Baker Mayfield.
All right, let's talk about the guys who really didn't do anything, and that was, what are we to do with Darius Geis, Kev?
Just hold on to him. He's going to be great. I think he's really good. He was really good coming out of college. He was really good in the preseason before he got hurt. I think he steps into a situation that's kind of in flux with, you know, Alex Smith's career in jeopardy. Who really knows what that's going to look like? But I think without him, without Alex Smith or without the quarterback being set, the one thing we can say going into next year, he should be healthy because he's had a full year to recover. He's going to have had a full year to recover. I think that offense is going to be tailored around him mostly.
And Jono, Ronald Jones, is just a case of him not being ripe, or is he a bust as a bust?
No, I think he's a bust. It's not even like he wasn't ready. He just looked bad. And even when like he had some opportunity, and he just still looked bad. There was nothing really he could do. He didn't show anything in practice. The Bucks have had a lost season since like week four, and there's still no hope for him even getting on the field. So I think at that point, you're just a bust.
All right. We pretty much covered all the rookies this year, and generally a pretty good crop. Not too much. I will say this, of the tight ends, we didn't mention any tight ends. The only tight end of note really is Mike Gesicki. I think there's a couple of others that were kind of on the fringe, but this wasn't a year for tight ends, was it? Or am I missing anybody besides Gesicki, Kev?
Dallas Goedert. He's on off weeks. If it wasn't for Ertz, I think Goddard would be pretty solid.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, so it was remiss to have Dallas Goedert. Completely forgot about him. How could I? How dare I?
I would say Hayden Hurst is someone to look at going forward, but he really didn't do anything this year, so it's hard to recommend him. Chris Herndon is a guy who is okay, I guess. Got arrested for a DUI, though, so...
Oh, yes. Yeah, the off-field issues, and that kind of takes us into the guys who let us down this year. Especially, I think, a lot of owners, like, lost Kareem Hunt. Now, I don't really want to go into Kareem Hunt too much. I mean, not his issues or anything, but that created a big hole, and I don't know, what are we going to do with him? Like, how will we draft him? I mean, some team will chance it and pick him up, won't they, Jono?
Oh, yeah, somebody's definitely going to sign him. I think the biggest obstacle for him as a fantasy asset is the league handing out a suspension, because nobody's going to sign him until he actually, like, the punishment moves through the exempt list and there's actually something tangible that they can work off of. We don't know when the suspension is going to be handed out. We don't know when he's going to serve it, but at some point he's going to serve it and he will play again. He's too talented for somebody not to take a chance on him. But until we find out when the suspension is, you can't really place him for next year's ADP.
I just wonder where he fits next season. What team will actually decide to take the plunge and sign him? That would be interesting.
Maybe he can go on the Michael Vick redemption tour and go to Philly. They can stop with the Corey Clement, Wendell Smallwood, Josh Adams carousel, whatever that is.
I think, as a matter of fact, Philadelphia was thinking of picking him up, as a matter of fact. Wasn't that true, Kev? You're always on the news about this sort of thing.
Yeah, Philly was the team that was rumored to be in on him. But, I think, Jonathan, you make a really good point that I hadn't really thought of. He needs to be suspended to see what the damage is. Otherwise, teams can't take that risk on him not knowing what's coming down from the league.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, the suspension has to come first. Otherwise, you know, you can't just... Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, if you're going to pick him up and if it's lengthy, these things really... it's a lot different. Actually, you know what? It's a lot different than the Ray Rice situation. Way different. Because Ray Rice actually threw punch. That hotel scene just looked like a lot of pushing around to me. It didn't look really... I mean, it was bad, right? You shouldn't push girls around and shove them, like, violently. But... I mean, it didn't look like he didn't knock a girl out cold and stuff in the elevator like Ray Rice did. I mean, it's still bad, obviously, but I just wonder why it wasn't brought up a lot sooner, because I think we would have rather had that, like, done and over with. Another guy who let us down, Le'Veon Bell, of course, and the story goes on. Where does he go? Kev, where do you think Le'Veon Bell lands next season?
I don't know. There's a lot of team cap. There's a lot of teams that could use that kind of weaponry. I still like the idea of him on the Niners. I think that's a pretty good fit. I do like the idea of him next to Andrew Luck on the Colts. But yeah, it's pretty wide open for him. It's not like, sure, he has character issues, but I wouldn't really classify. It's not the same. Maybe he goes to Oakland. That would be pretty interesting. Las Vegas Raiders opening up with Le'Veon Bell in the backfield. They don't really have a running back. Those would probably be the three guys that I would list as favorites. They say the Jets too. The Jets. So those four. Uh-huh. Eagles, five.
Well, I've named a couple of guys that let us down. Jono, who you pick a guy who you feel let you down?
I think the biggest non-injury letdown has to be Jordan Howard. Kevin, I know you probably feel some way about this one, but just there was no week where you could be like, yes, he's going to do well because he can get 10 carries for 20 yards or 3 carries. It's just with Tarik Cohen taking all the passing work out of the backfield, it was just you couldn't start him really any week with confidence.
No, he was well, Kevin, you want to respond first?
I'm just shaking my head. I have to say, the guy was terrible.
It wasn't his fault, though. I think it was just a matter of how Nagy was running the offense. Really, in a lot of cases, don't you think? wasn't all sure, his fault.
But just be better. If you're better, he'll run the offense through you. That true. Was the thought process going
on. Yeah. Cohen was a guy. It really sickened me every time I saw Cohen running off these big play after big play, and then you get Howard in there, and there you go for a plot of two to three yards, maybe, you know. It was just awful. It was really, you know, it was just terrible. What about you, Kev? I got a big list of players of guys who let us down, or you can go off this list. Or
I want to be very clear that I will be drafting Jordan Howard in the seventh or eighth round next year. I want to get out ahead. It's going to happen. I'm going to do it. I'm going to talk myself into it.
Okay.
Someone who let us down this year, again, I tend to not like selecting people who got injured. I don't really think that's like their fault necessarily.
Yeah, that's a different. Well, I mentioned guys like Kareem Hunt and Le'Veon Bell because they let us down in a different way.
Right, right. But like, I don't like Fournette. I wouldn't really count on a letdown. If he got hurt. That's not his problem.
Yeah.
Devontae Freeman not a letdown if he got hurt. So a guy who really let. I mean, I didn't have him on him, but I still thought he'd be good. Gronk was really, really, really washed this year.
Yep.
He just wasn't good. A lot of people probably drafted him 4 rounds, something like that. And he was just objectively bad. He just doesn't create separation anymore. He's only got 3 touchdowns on the season. He had games where he was just like, you know, under 50 yards, not making an impact on the game.
Mm-hmm.
When I heard the retirement talks in offseason, I really thought it was more of like, hey man, I don't really want to play football anymore. That type of thing. I'm trying to, you know, chug Monster and play Fortnite all night. But it kind of seems more like a physical thing has a lot to do with it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I do notice that there's something, there definitely is a regression going on with Gronk, and guys like Ertz and Kelsey are well ahead of him. Kittle's ahead of him. I would even put, say, Jared Cook is ahead of him, who kind of is one of the guys who surprised us this year. But before we leave the guys who let us down, I just want to mention another tight end, and that's Jimmy Graham. I kind of expected a little bit more from him this year. A few drop balls, but it wasn't really this offense where Rodgers was tending to go was the wide receivers. It doesn't seem like Rodgers was as wanting to get Jimmy Graham like those 7 or 8 targets a game. So
I think that's been Rodgers' MO his whole career. He would prefer to have 3 wide receivers out there than 2 wide receivers tight end. It's just, you know, they keep bringing in talented, quote unquote, talented tight ends, and we get hyped for them, and then they don't do anything. So.
Yeah. Although there was one tight end he quite liked, and his name escapes me at the moment. He's a guy, he was lost for the year. He ended up on an injury settlement. Jermichael Finley, that's the guy. He seemed to target him quite a bit back in the day, but that's going back. And I kind of thought Rodgers might revisit that once he got a really good tight end, but no, it wasn't to be. Jimmy Graham is lower down the radar. He's just, to me, he's just a high-end TE2. So, anyways, guys who surprise us. Obviously, there's a number of players that surprise us. I guess the guy from the list here that surprised me the most is probably Eric Ebron. Oh, Eric Ebron surprised me big time this year. I wasn't expecting him to just... He's a touchdown machine, this guy. Yes, that means touchdown dependent, but if you're getting him, he's getting him. And Jack Doyle came back, and we got a test to see what the offense would be like. No, still Ebron. So... Kev, that's another guy you're down on, but now you're high on again.
I said a lot of terrible things about Eric. I don't apologize, but I shift my blame instead to Matthew Stafford. Come on, what were you doing out there, man? You had this guy, Eric Ebron, and I don't know. I blame Matthew Stafford. And, but Ebron, yeah, he's been great. It's not much more to say. Pro bowler.
Yeah, pro bowler. What about you, John? Who surprised you this year? Who's your big surprise?
I'm going to stick with the tight ends. I'm going to go with Jared Cook. I know you briefly mentioned earlier, but just, you know, years and years of disappointment and drops and just nothing from him. And then he goes to the Raiders, to what probably is one of the worst teams in the league. And he's good. All of a sudden he's a top 5 tight end, consistent, catching touchdowns, having big games. It's just very, very surprising. And I don't think he's going to do it again next year, honestly.
Have you ever heard him talk? He's got an excellent voice. And you should listen to his voice when he talks. You'd want, oh man, this guy, he's just got that perfect. He would be a good guy to have in the booth. He's got the perfect voice for it. It's like deep and, you know, it's got a, I don't know. You just listen to, you should listen to how he talks. Anyway, Kev, who surprised you?
So someone who surprised me, honestly, Juju Smith-Schuster really surprised me. Hmm. I knew he was good. I didn't know he was that good. You know, I kind of, you know, wide receiver two, great. You know, still Steelers offense, still going to be Antonio Brown. And Antonio Brown did his thing this year, but Juju is, I don't know. I would, you know, going into season, I thought it was, you know, wide receiver one, wide receiver two. I think it's closer to wide receiver 1A and 1B than most people think.
Yep.
Juju's on pace for 110 catches, 1,500 yards, you know, 7 or 8 touchdowns. That's really, really impressive. Yeah, and it's just surprising. I think that kind of stuff surprises more. Like, people going from good to great surprised me more than, you know, no-name people kind of coming out and just doing good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I, that last 10% is the hardest to get, and I think making that jump something I really didn't expect.
Yeah, Juju is. I think that's a good way to put it. 1A and 1B. Not that Antonio Brown has lost any step at all. None. He's still the top wide receiver to get. I'm ashamed to say that actually that Adam Thielen, man, the guy has dropped right off. Like, I mean, he started off the season on fire. And then, I don't know, I think, like, after the bye week, it just seemed like he's turned into somebody kind of ordinary. I mean, he was ahead of Antonio Brown for several weeks, but he just couldn't maintain that high. I mean, you'd think a guy would go down a little bit, but not as much as he has in recent weeks. Don't know what's going on with Adam Thielen. I mean, he didn't have very good fantasy score for the semi. He's another one of those semifinalists that busted for you. Just kind of bad, isn't it, Jono? I mean, we could talk about Week 15 busts for forever. There were so many. Tyreek Hill, who would have thought? Yeah. Anyways, before we get into the key injuries, I'd like to break in a little bit with Alex's starts and sits, and we can discuss that, and then we can get on to the guys that we lost this season and see their prospects for next year. It's time for Alex.
Alex Hamrick starts and sits.
What's up, everybody? Alex Hamrick here, and I've got my Week 16 Championship Week starts and sits of the week. This will be the last one of the year, so let's make it good. My Week 16 start of the week is two players, whatever, it's the last one, so let's go big. It's two Williams. First, it's Packers running back Jamal Williams. So Aaron Jones went down in Week 15. Jamal Williams came in, took over, got the majority of the work, totaled 97 yards, scored a touchdown. Had a good fantasy outing, you know, running back needy teams. You can't go wrong with somebody in a decent offense. Yeah, the Packers offense has only been mediocre, but he's going to get the volume and he's going up against the Jets. So he makes for a good start. So does Chargers wide receiver Mike Williams. Yeah, he's got a tough matchup against the Ravens, but the Chargers offense is for real. He will continue to see work even if Keenan Allen comes back, but if Keenan Allen misses, Mike Williams vaults up the list. He's still a worthy flex option if Keenan Allen is there. He's always a threat to get a touchdown. So I think you can start Mike Williams this week. On the other side, my Week 16 sits of the week are 49ers running backs. So specifically, I guess we'll talk about Matt Breida and Jeff Wilson Jr. Matt Breida did what Matt Breida always does, played through the ankle injury, and then exited early. Last week, he still managed to total over 90 yards, but he's a risk to leave the game early every week. So even if he plays this week, you might only get a few quarters out of him before he leaves. With Jeff Wilson Jr., if Matt Breida misses, he'll go in probably as the lead guy. But either way, they're facing a Bears defense that has been very tough against running backs. So you can look elsewhere in the running back department this week. Well, that's it for my Week 16 start and sit of the week. Check out the rest of them on fantasysixpack.net, and good luck, everybody.
And yes, you can check the rest of his starts and sits on Friday, and it'll be the last start and sit of the year for Alex, so wish him a Merry Christmas. The Matt Breida actually was one of the guys on the guys who let us down. He was on the list. We had so many guys that let us down this year. Matt Breida was on that list. Alex is absolutely right. Matt Breida is just not a guy you really can trust in your finals, is he, Kev?
No, I mean, he's just, he looks good when he's out there, but he's so injury prone. He's in and out of the game, always on the sideline, holding something. And again, I'm not blaming him. Football is an insane sport to be playing. But definitely, and with the Bears on the schedule, it's going to be really hard to put him in line.
Yeah. And what do you think of the starts, Jono? The Williams. Seems like there was a lot of Williams. It was the Williams Bowl last week. You know, you had Damian Williams, Jamal Williams, Mike Williams.
I mean, just in the Chargers-Chiefs game, you had four alone. We had Damian, Daryl, Mike, and Tyrell all in the same game. It was really confusing trying to cheer, trying to text with my opponent. You'd be like, yes, Williams got the ball. Wait, which one?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I agree with Jamal. I think with, you know, starters touches, Jamal Williams going to be a good start. I completely disagree with Mike Williams. I know he said, you know, he acknowledged the tough matchup, but Baltimore secondary is absolutely elite. And they're, you know, it's such a tough matchup. Like I said, even if Keenan plays, or even if he doesn't play, you're going up against, you know, the number one corner. If he does play, then they're still good against wide receiver twos. So I don't see all year long he's been super boom or bust. And if he doesn't catch you two touchdowns, I don't think he's going to get much yardage this week. Very, very risky, and I'm not willing to take that risk against the secondary.
I just want to remind people that that Ravens-Charger game is the late game on Saturday, not Sunday, so make sure that you get your lineup sorted for that game. Are you tired of getting crushed by the quote-unquote pros? DFS players and sports bettors, listen up. TheQuantEdge.com has the tools you need to play like a pro. With our lineup optimizer, injury tool, wide receiver, cornerback matchups, and head-to-head tool, you will be armed with everything you need to win. Make up to 150 lineups in seconds, see matchups to exploit, and compare players to help you make the right decision you're on the fence about at thequantedge.com. You'll get exclusive access to our industry experts, articles, podcasts, and the Quant Edge community by participating in the premium membership chat. We at Fantasy Sixpack have a special deal for our loyal listeners. Using promo code SIXPACK, you get $10 off the first month. Go to thequantedge.com to sign up today. Getting back to our discussion on guys we lost, guys who were injured, what's going to happen to them next year? I don't think there's any question about guys like Cooper Kupp and Greg Olsen and Emmanuel Sanders. Well, Emmanuel, I don't know whether he'll be remaining with the Broncos. Who knows? There could be something changing. I'm not sure about it depends on his contract. I'm not sure exactly how much what he signed up for. Kevin, is he a free agent in 2018?
Let me check. I think he is. By the way, there is definite questions about Greg Olsen. The dude might retire. So,
I think Olsen's. I think he's done. There's so many foot things. Even if he plays, he's not going to be Greg Olsen. I think you can disregard him as a fantasy option.
Right.
Let me see. Sanders. I think he is a free agent after this.
I mean,
year.
He's not going to play next year, anyways. So Sanders, it's moot.
He's done.
What, Emmanuel Sanders?
Torn Achilles. He's not playing next year. No chance.
Yeah, they've got an out for him this year, an option to exercise. They probably will decline that, which really, really sucks for him. I like Sanders a lot. I would love to have him. I think any time he joins, whenever he gets back from injury, he'll be a good football player for him. Maybe not for fantasy, but he's a good player.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about Jay Ajayi. I think a lot of shine has gone off of him now. I don't think he goes very high next year, especially if he stays with I'm not sure on his contract details what they are with the Eagles, but a lot of the shine has gone off Jay Ajayi. He just doesn't seem like he never quite could take over that Eagles. Nobody could. Just the way it's run, Wade Peterson runs things, I think. But I think if one guy could run away with it, I mean, like, you look at LeSean McCoy. I mean, okay, this was in the days before Peterson, and even this was back in the days when Andy Reid was on there, was when you had LeSean McCoy. But that was the last time there was, like, a main guy. But I just don't – Jay Ajayi just doesn't get me interested anymore. I think this was the last season for me, last straw. What about you, Kev?
Yeah, Ajayi is unrestricted free agent this year. Going to be interested to see where he signs. Again, I think he's going to be one of those guys who is kind of almost a low-key signing. I don't think he'll get much money in free agency. He might come into the – you know, go into the season as a guy who's part of a committee in a backfield. He'll have to play his way into the starting role.
Yeah.
I don't think he's an automatic – starter once he, whichever team he's
with. There was, I made a very big short list, but you got any key injuries that of note, Jono? That I only put a few on the list here. There was so many injuries.
I think the one that hurt most was OJ Howard, just because he's a tight end, and when you lose one, there's nobody to replace. It's nice that Cameron Brate's a good receiving option for Tampa, but just losing, you know, one of the only tight ends that could actually score and be, you know, productive week in, week out, it was tough. But I think, you know, AJ Green, he'll be back. Marvin Jones is going to be back just fine. You know, there's Cooper Kupp as well. ACL injuries, I think those recoveries are pretty easy. Not easy, but pretty successful now, is the right word. And he'll be back. Rams offense still going to be good, so wouldn't be too worried about them either.
Yeah, they're not as bad as they used to be. That's true.
Two guys for me that I'm looking for. One is Hunter Henry, who actually might be coming back. So obviously he's going to be, I don't know. He's factored in the Chargers plans for sure. Antonio out there, but he's not the same.
Oh, we didn't get a chance. You weren't on last week, Kevin. So I got to ask your get your opinion about Stephen A. and you know, Teddy Bruschi and Kellerman. Get your thoughts on that.
Honestly, it seems like someone just handed him a scouting report from 2017. I don't know how he got so many wrong. Four things wrong is, I don't know. I don't know how your mind blanks like that. So I feel like he was, like someone pranked him. I think he should have rolled with it. And, you know, instead he tried to say, no, I was talking about Virgil Green.
Virgil
Green has been terrible. Like, who cares about Virgil Green? I thought it was weird that he just rolled with it. I'd have been like, you know, I would have tweeted some joke about, and you know, Michael Turner's going to make an impact on the game from the backup running back position or something. I think trying to defend it and saying, hey, Virgil Green, the guy, like, what are you talking about?
He just dug himself way deeper, more than he had to.
All-time reaction, by just an all-time great reaction.
Perfect. Well, even Kellerman, like, his face was just like, duh.
There's tons of that. Kellerman reacting to Stephen A. There's a highlight film of that, but Bruschi was legitimately confused. I think Bruschi thought, I think Stephen A. said it with such conviction, I think for a second take, he really thought that he was right.
Lots of other injuries. You know, we could talk about Marvin Jones, AJ, Sammy Watkins, Deshaun Jackson. The list goes on and on and on. It was a big year for injuries, and not just injuries, just the timing of the injuries. Like, for instance, like OBJ, for example, just at the time of fantasy play, when you need him, right at the fantasy playoff time, and OBJ goes down, you know. On the other hand, guys coming back who just suddenly started to blow up, like Dalvin Cook. You know, so I don't know. I guess it goes both ways. So anyway, let's talk about our first and second and third team All-Stars. I took the easy job of picking up the. What I did was that set up the top quarterback, but the two best running backs, the two best wide receivers, tight end, flex, kicker, and defense. And we all couldn't pick the same ones, but. My first team, obviously, Patrick Mahomes has been just awesome this year. It's just incredible. I think he's already up to 45 or 46 touchdown passes. I think he could easily hit the big 50 mark, which only Peyton Manning and Tom Brady have had 50 touchdown seasons. Peyton Manning, of course, had 55, and Patrick Mahomes, he's only got two games to do it, but I think he can get 50. And that's pretty good for your, which I really consider this kind of his rookie year because he didn't really play much in his first season. So, I mean, he's a young quarterback. I know he's not technically not a rookie, but, he feels like a rookie still because he's so young and just, and some of the passes he makes, Jono, I am just amazed at Patrick Mahomes. He's just a totally awesome guy.
Yeah, I mean, he's been, like you said, he's been incredible. Those couple passes last week were like, I think one of the touchdowns, he just kind of stood there and waited for his receiver to get open and then took a big hit. It just looked like he was throwing it away, went for a touchdown instead. Been great to watch. I've tried to watch as many Chiefs games as I could. Fun fact about Mahomes, he, with two games remaining, he has the 12th most fantasy points scored ever in a fantasy in an NFL season, and he needs 26.8 per game to catch LT and his legendary 2006 season. So, wow. See if he can do that.
Wow. And Tomlinson had just Tomlinson was massive back in the day with
that. Yeah, that's way more surprising is that the highest scoring fantasy quarterback of the season of all time isn't Brady's 07, it's actually a running back. Wow.
Brady's 07 is actually fifth. Peyton's 2013 is second.
Really?
Yeah.
The yardage?
Fantasy points. Oh, because I mean, Brady only had 4,800 yards. Right, Peyton had almost.
It's a yardage, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just going through the rest of my guys here, just a couple of obviously Todd Gurley and Christian McCaffrey are my one and two running backs. Antonio Brown, DeAndre Hopkins, no surprise there. Travis Kelce, obviously the number one tight end you want to have. And of course, Saquon Barkley. Apart from screwing up your semifinals in the playoffs, his worst game of the season happened to be last week in the rain. But he was still great all year, Saquon Barkley. And my kicker is Kymie Fairburn of Houston and the Bears. So, Jono, pick a guy or two you'd like to talk about of the second team All-Stars.
Hey, second team All-Stars, QB Andrew Luck. Just after the first couple games of the season, he came through super consistent, good performances all year long. He's back. His shoulder looks good. The offense looks good. And who knows, he might have Le'Veon Bell beside him next year. So, you know, at the price he was drafted, people worried about the injury. But, you know, he's back and he's going to be a top five QB again next year. Mm. Running backs, Zeke and Melvin Gordon, both super consistent. They both added a massive, massive part of their game. They're both very involved in the passing game now, and that's just taking them both to a whole new level. They can now in the conversation, slightly behind Gurley, but they're in that conversation now. Wide receivers, Devonta Adams, again, super consistent with Rodgers, you know, hurt and all that kind of stuff going on in Green Bay. Devonta Adams has been very, very consistent. 80 yards or a touchdown, you can bank it every week. Julio Jones, he's finally catching touchdowns, so he's my other receiver. Tight end, George Kittle. Just super late pick, but very consistent, huge plays, and the 200-yard game is just super fun to watch. James Conner as well, you know, just filling in for what who would be, you know, the second best running back, you know, in the league, and doing a very admirable job. Did great. He's going to be an RB1 next year, and, you know, very consistent. Again, kicker, Harrison Butker, and defense, Kansas City.
That surprised me. You take the Chiefs.
They get a lot of flack because they're in high-scoring games, but as a fantasy defense, they score points. They get a lot of picks because teams are playing catch-up. Their pass rush is great, and they're good for, you know, at least two or three sacks a game. You know, they're not a huge flashy option, but if they have a decent floor, except for that they scored a touchdown in the Rams game. The Patriots game was their worst of the season, but otherwise, they've been pretty decent.
Overall, you wouldn't have thought because of all the points they give up. I mean, well, I think they're a little bit better more later in the season than they were earlier. I don't know. You got any comments on Jono's list there, Kev? And then you can go on to the third team All-Stars.
Couple things, just, you know, quickly. Andrew Luck, really surprising that he bounced back after his first, like, 3 weeks. He looked awful. But shout out to him. Melvin Gordon, the only running back so far to finish every week with more than 10 standard points, which is doesn't sound that impressive, but it's actually very impressive. Kittle is a monster. He looked like an absolute scrub in college, so I have no idea how the hell this happened. Other than that, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good second team. I mean, like you say, James Conner came out of nowhere. We kind of expected, I don't know. We sort of did and sort of didn't with James Conner because we knew.
As soon as that report came out that said Le'Veon didn't have to show up until week 9 or something like that, I hopped on it everywhere. I thought, I didn't even care. Obviously, I didn't think he was this talented, but I knew the opportunity wouldn't be there. And so,
yeah,
good for him for taking it. But I think it was a benefit to me for having my draft.
It was kind of like, remember the guy from the Panthers who went to the Pittsburgh and he filled in for Le'Veon Bell when he was injured or on suspension. I can't remember which. But there was, what was his name?
D'Angelo Williams,
yeah. So,
I mean, now their third string guys kill him. So at a certain point, we have to ask, is Le'Veon Bell good?
Yeah, we've seen this before, like with Dallas, remember?
Yeah, I mean, it's a system thing. I mean, like the Ravens have pass rushers put up 12 sack seasons and then go elsewhere, get paid big money, and don't do anything. It's a thing that happens, you know, like in the NBA, it's like you don't want to grab role players from Spurs because they're only good because they're on the Spurs. Mm-hmm.
Kev,
or Kyle Anderson.
Third team.
Besides him, and Danny Green. For some reason, the Spurs wanted to get rid of two and I left.
Thanks for Danny Green. Haha.
Danny Green. I think I got two greens on my basketball team. Anyways, let's not get sidetracked. Kev, we can get sidetracked at the end of the show. Kev, who's your all-star team? Your third team, third stringer all-stars.
The third string quarterback was actually pretty hard to pin down. I went into it thinking it would be Breeze, but he's been brutal these last 4 weeks. So I'm going with Matt Ryan. He hasn't been great, but the 2 weeks that he's really flopped were week 1 against Philly, which is just a strange game. It was the opening game of the season. And week 13 against Baltimore, which we kind of predicted. I mean, you can kind of predict that would have happened. Other than that, he's been really consistent. He's the quarterback, too, on the season. So Matt Ryan, former MVP Matt Ryan, sorry, my respect. But he's actually had a pretty solid season. Running backs, Kamara really, really, really has thrown it down ever since his start where I really thought he was on pace to break every single record. He was on LT level pace. He's really slowed it down as the Saints offense kind of slowed down as well. And with Ingram back, this is kind of what we expected. David Johnson, ever since they fired, what's his name? I forgot his name, but with Byron Leftwich there, Yeah, Michael. David Johnson's just been amazing. He's handled a heavy workload, and with literally nothing, no support around him, the worst offensive line I've seen probably in a long time. They lost all five starters. He's putting up big numbers still, so shout out to him. Thielen, we talked about, he's really slowed down his pace as well, but really denied what he's season. 925 yards and 9 touchdowns through 9 games is absolutely ridiculous. I have no explanation for why he slowed down. Maybe Dalvin Cook is back. I don't know, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's possible.
Tyreek Hill, literally just wanting you sometimes. Boomer bust, definition of boomer bust, but legitimately sometimes he just gets you 34 and there's nothing your opponent can do.
When he booms, he booms.
Yeah, when he boomed, he was, yeah, I mean, every week I was going in FanDuel, and the first thing I would do is just set a lineup around a Mahomes, Tyreek Hill stack, not even really considering matchups or anything, but every week I just stack those two, and, you know, I think a
better stack would be Kelsey, don't you think?
Yeah, probably, but the Hill stack was, it paid off too. That probably would have been a good one, Mahomes, Hill, and then Mahomes, Kelsey, because either way they were going off. Damn it, why didn't I think of that? Oh, well. 13 tight end, Eric Ebron. Again, my apologies. You get some, you win some, you lose some. The guy's touchdown catching machine. I still think Jack Doyle is really good. But that's besides the point. Last guy is a flex guy. I mean, this could have been anyone, but I chose to put Michael Thomas there. He's just consistent. He kind of just does, you know, his thing. He was on pace. He was on a crazy pace too, but the Saints have slowed down and he hasn't been as good. But, I think he's caught the most balls through NFL history three seasons or something like that. So shout out to him. A lot of other guys he could have put in his spot, obviously. But, I don't think anyone can really fault me for putting Michael Thomas. Right. Kicker. I'll just go with Justin Tucker. He's a great guy. He's a kicker. Great guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He's a great singer too, apparently. Tenor.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, for kickers, like, get kickers out of fantasy. But.
No, you know what? I'm starting to warm to kickers now because I noticed that the extra points and field goals are tough, and they're not automatic, and it's a streamable position. I'm thinking
it's just random, you know. It's like it is. Kickers gonna be good, but kickers it's the same thing as tight end. Kickers 6 through 18 are exactly the same. Tight end 6 through 18 are exactly the same.
Maybe if they worked on a different system to make it a little more interesting, instead of just, you know, distances and things like that.
But the problem is, it's like a tight end premium, right? Because then the problem is Travis Kelce becomes an absolute monster. So then Gostkowski and Greg, what's his name, Zuerlein and Justin Tucker are going to be so good that, you know, you can't, I don't know. If they're so much more valuable than their peers, mm-hmm. You don't see that with running back. I mean, you do, but.
Well, why don't we just combine kickers to the DST? Like combine kickers with DST? Because after all, kicker is a special team player, right?
But they're like very unrelated.
You know, they are and they aren't.
I mean, one is an offensive position, one's a defensive position. Obviously, they're very unrelated.
It's still a special team. Like we call it DST.
It's like handing Ben Roethlisberger points for the Steelers getting sacked. Like, hey, okay,
yeah, that's a point, I guess. But then I would like to see kickers in it, but I don't know. Somebody has to come up with a system.
Are worth minus 20. Missed PAT is minus 20. There, done.
No, minus 20. Yeah. If missing an extra point is minus 20, no one would draft a kicker. They wouldn't even put a kicker in their slot. They would leave it blank and have it take a zero.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what you do about the situation. It's not a good thing. I don't really particularly like it. I think a variance is too high. It's like, yeah, I don't know. Whatever. Because you could have great kickers on good teams. They put up 7 touchdowns. They got 7 points.
Hey, what about your thoughts, Jono, on kickers?
Take them or leave them. It's such a random thing. Like, the kickers don't really involve much skill as a fantasy player. You just kind of pick one attached to a good offense and hope that they get stopped in the red zone. There's really no skill to it. I can take it or leave it. Preferably leave it, just because it's one less thing to worry about. But whatever.
But a lot of
rousing indoors.
There was this guy Elliot Harrison on. He had an interesting method for kickers. It was something to do with red zone trips versus red zone success. So, like, of course, the more red zone trips that a team has, but they have lower success, that means the kicker, they have to kick more field goals. So you sort of can, you could sort of use that as a metric, red zone trips versus red zone success. Like for touchdowns, yeah, it is?
That's a way of measuring it. I mean, you're looking for offenses who don't score a lot of touchdowns but move the ball. Like you're looking for example, like the Jets do that. That's why Jason Myers won kicker in the league this year. Because once they get the red zone, they're absolutely horrible.
All right. Okay. Our sleepers for this week, fantasy final weekend. My sleeper of the week, folks, is, and don't laugh, because I really think that this guy, he's, I don't know, he comes to life at the end of the season. He beat the Rams. And you know what I'm talking about, Nick Foles. He didn't throw any touchdown passes, but he won the game. He game managed it. But Foles, for some reason, brought Philadelphia to life in an odd way. Although I will say this, the defense kind of let the team down because the Rams came very close to rallying for a win, as you saw last week. But Foles, I like him. I like him this week. So he should be able to have a good game and against. Now it's not the greatest matchup, mind you, because they're playing. Yes, they are playing the Texans. So just looking at that. So Nick Foles, he's my sleeper. Who's your sleeper, Jono?
My sleeper of the week is Bills receiver Robert Foster. I mentioned him briefly earlier when I was talking about Josh Allen, but like I was saying before, he's just getting a lot of quality targets. I mean, he's ranked number one in target quality, which combines like the number of catchable targets with the average target depth of a play that the player is getting. Mm-hmm. Foster also ranks number one in average target distance, almost 24 yards a target. So if he's catching it, you know it's going to be worth a lot. And he's been getting a good amount of targets as well. We all know about Josh Allen's arm. And yeah, I think he's, over the last few weeks, he's been very, very good. Sneaky under the radar because he plays for the Bills. But if you need a receiver, if you have Keenan Allen and you're worried that he won't play or he's going to be a decoy, then Foster is not a bad option in deeper leagues. Under 25% owned. And he's been good. If you need a boom player, then give him a shot.
Yeah. The reason I say Nick Foles, too, is because a lot of people lost Cam Newton. So, including myself in our fantasy consolation bracket. I didn't have I lost Cam Newton for the week. So I picked up. So like I say, I'm going to tell everybody, whenever I pick up a sleeper, I always play them. So we're in this together. So I don't just say a sleeper and decide. Not always. Sometimes I have a better option. But if I always stick by the sleeper that I pick on the show, I will play the sleeper, win or lose. Sometimes I win it. Sometimes I don't. But Kev, you got a sleeper for us for week 16 for those who might have an unfortunate injury or...
My sleeper this week is a guy coming off a really bad game, 56 yards only. It's Saquon Barkley. I think he's going to have a really good game against the Colts, and if you have him, you should really think about starting him.
You're not saying Saquon Barkley is a sleeper.
What do you mean? Yeah, I am. Saquon Barkley, guys. He's going to help you win championships.
It's a risky pick, but I like it.
Yeah. I don't know.
Can you pick someone else a little more serious? Are you trying to Stephen A me? Are you trying to do a Stephen A thing here or something?
My next guy on my list. I have a list. I'll go down this. My next guy. Really risky. Really risky because he was just signed. Nathan Peterman of the Oakland Raiders. They've got a really good matchup. The Broncos aren't that good anymore. They lost Chris Harris. Derek Carr sucks. Start Nathan Peterman.
Next.
Okay, for real.
Next. Okay, Kevin, that went down like a lead balloon. I mean, I think I'd rather play Taysom Hill. I mean, come on.
Start Josh Allen to do the balling. You're basically getting a running back floor with some. He might complete 15 passes. Even if he doesn't, he's still okay. Patriots are disintegrating on defense. They can't really do anything. Jonathan, I'm sure you can attest to that. I don't think they have. I think the one thing they lack on defense is probably feed. And I think Josh Allen is going to be able to. I think over the years, the Patriots struggle with running quarterback. I don't know if there's any stats to back that up, but that's something in my mind. Like, I always feel like they always struggle with running quarterback. So, I don't know.
I mean, they gave up 81 yards to Trubisky earlier this year.
Okay. Yeah. I'll take that. That's proof.
I like Josh Allen. I think that's a great, if he's available and you've lost Cam Newton, or even if, I don't know, there's some questions of whether, well, Aaron Rodgers says he is going to definitely play, so, but that doesn't mean you really like him, though. I mean, you kind of almost think he's going to light do. Well, I don't know. Aaron Rodgers always plays hard, and it's the Jets, so not traveling to the Jets.
Fun fact, Josh Allen has the most fantasy points of any QB over the last 4 weeks, only because Mahomes had a bye week. But otherwise, he's been great.
Ah, well then there's your
he's
answer right
still
there.
Still under 30% owned. Nobody wants to pick him up.
Because it's the Bills. generally, probably. But I still like the pick, Kev. I definitely like it better than your other two sleepers, so-called, quote-unquote, Nathan Peterman. You won't give up on him, will you? You won't let him rest in peace.
He won't let me rest.
What do you mean?
He won't let you watch.
Go be a college coach. Come on.
I mean, he's poor guy's in his grave, and yet Kevin just wants to dance on it.
On the Oakland Raiders roster.
He's not on the. He's on the practice squad, and he's not on the.
Let me see. Yeah, actually check.
No, he's gonna be whatever spot McCarron was occupying. That's what he's gonna do because McCarron just had his son. So whatever spot or place on the roster McCarron had, that's what Peterman's taking right now.
Fire! Would you look at that? Aiden McCarron's wife had a baby on Wednesday. Raiders need another quarterback, and McCarron can't Monday night beat Evan Broncos. In that case, Peterman be promoted to active roster.
Kev, you just tap dance on this poor guy's coffin and.
I'm not tap dancing anything.
You are. You're tap dancing on Peterman's coffin. It's really bad taste. I don't know. Poor guy. Poor guy. Just can't catch a break with you. You know what? I'd like it. I'd love nothing more than Peterman to come out and have a 5-touchdown outing or something.
He was not a fan of.
I'd like it. I'd pull an Ebron on you again. I think you need more Eric Ebron's. You need more Eric.
If I came on an NFL podcast, a widely, like thousands of people are watching, and I got 0 out of 10 picks correct, I would expect to be, lambasted.
Well,
you can't go out and be bad and not tell you you're bad.
Maybe I'm a bit too staid in my. But I'd like to. But as we close out the show now, we didn't have any moving on ups. I mean, it's the end of the season. You got nobody to move on up because you're not going to be doing anything in week 17, hopefully. And so that's our season finale for the Fantasy Edge. But we will probably have a show coming up for you to maybe do a review or something during the playoffs. But I want to thank Alex Hamrick for providing his starts and sits this week. And, Jono, have a good week 16 in your final. And, Kev, good luck in your final.
Thank you.
And we'll see you everybody next week on, or next time on the Fantasy Edge. Take care, everybody, and good luck.